Rise and shine. We got an hour of sleep. I'm fired up this morning. Feels like 10 a.m.
It makes a big difference.
Holy, did it ever.
I didn't necessarily get a lot of sleep Saturday night. But like when the body clock, when the body clock shutting down at like 9 p.m. and you're like, hey, I'm just going to, I don't need to watch this second half. Now I feel great. I'm refreshed.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say.
Yes.
Honestly, with that...
Let's do this every weekend.
We might be one of the top beneficiaries of daylight savings.
It's hard to argue with that.
Like, when that clock hit 4:30 this morning, I was like, no problem. Pop out of bed, do a little
spring.
Do a little jig around my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they click their heels? The leprechauns. This is how I felt this morning. Daylight savings. I mean, it happened Saturday at 2 a.m. Did that bother me at that point? Did I notice? No.
No.
You clearly didn't.
That was when I was at my worst this weekend, was Saturday 2 a.m.
JC was partying big time this weekend. Listen to him.
No.
He also has the mustache today, everybody. So finally, he's gotten on board.
Call the dogs off.
It's November 7th, and we're starting November.
Listen, that's part of the reason why I had a thing Saturday. Little family engagement party.
Did anybody else
have
a stash?
Shout out to Jordan and Nicole.
Congratulations.
There were stashes. Those people looked good with the stashes, though. It doesn't work for me necessarily. So I just had to make sure that, you know, got over the hurdle. Didn't want a dirt stash at a family outing.
It's not a dirt. You can grow facial hair. It's not a dirt stash. You don't look like.
First 5 days, dirt stash.
Like, you know who would have a dirt stash? JD Bunkus.
Okay.
He can't grow facial hair like you.
No, but. Can he not grow it at all?
I don't know. We're going to see him in three hours.
He's always, there's nothing.
He's clean
freshly
cut.
Shaved.
He might not even, you know what the problem is? We're not even going to know if he's doing Movember. You can't ask him.
You do like a 5:30 Zoom show with him.
Yeah,
and
I never knew.
He looks like he is freshly shaved. That may just
be
because.
We're going to find out.
There's, you know, he's incapable of growing the facial
hair. What's your heritage? What's your background? Cuthbert.
Cuthbert's English. I look French Canadian though.
So I was gonna say, this morning you look French Canadian.
Yes, oui.
You know what? Actually, stashes were in before Movember because of Miles Teller from Top Gun.
He
brought it back.
Yeah,
Top Gun brought stashes back.
And listen, Austin Matthews gets credit for this for sure. He's brought into the Toronto spotlight a little bit. Mm-hmm. Some people can do it. Others, like, I can't. This is not sustainable for me. It's ridiculous.
I'm in a tough spot. I got to look at Justin for 3 hours.
You've been asking for it all week,
no,
so
it's,
now you're here.
It's respectable. Speaking of Movember, I had a lot of really nice people donate to my Movember page, so thank you for that. Once again, I'm going to continue that all month long.
Just a reminder, what's the plan?
Every bet we hit on the Fan Morning Show, whether it's Justin's, mine, our anchor pick, I'm going to donate just $5. And if we hit the full wake and rake, I'll double it. We were close on Friday.
Yes.
Technically, there was a asterisk because we said Golden State Warriors on the spread, which was 4.5. And then they decided to sit every single player on their roster and play less than G League Ignite. And
then the line moved to 10.5,
and they covered that. But I did, you know.
So the Warriors technically covered, but not when we put in the bet.
So play it as you will.
I didn't bet it until I saw that they
were.
So you
did win.
So I did win. I just added my OG steals and blocks. That's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So some people cash some tickets on Friday. But again, it's not the full 15 or the full 30, I guess,
mm-hmm.
when you hit a $15 one.
But our guy Ron.
Hunting the white whale.
Ron did donate to my page. I had Rick Young, Rick in Niagara, who listens. $100.
Wow.
Big spender, Rick. Anyway, I appreciate that. We're going to keep going all month long. Speaking of money, just a side note. I just started selling a couple things on Facebook Marketplace because I'm moving and I need to switch up some stuff. That's got to be the most frustrating thing is to be on Facebook Marketplace. I put up last night a couch at like 7 p.m., 7:05. Bing, is this still available? I'm like, yes, it's been up for less than 5 minutes. Bing, how much? I'm like, the price is in the description. Ping, what are the dimensions? I'm like, guys, just read it. It's so fresh. Maybe I don't have patience for it, but if you're getting all these messages, is it still available? Is it still available? I'm like, yes, it's still available. It's just, you want it or not?
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. Facebook Market, especially if you have a lot on the go and you're just trying to get rid of it.
I put like 4 things up and I was just like, my phone was blowing up. People asking if it's still available.
communication's always lacking on there. Like, all the information is in the post, and there's always many, many
questions. It really bugged me last night.
And there's nothing that, like, it gets your hope up, too, because you're, like,
your phone's buzzing.
Your phone's buzzing. You want to get rid of this stuff, though. And then it seems like it's, like, one out of every 10 might actually go somewhere.
Then somebody put an offer in for something, and then they're like, I'll pick it up tomorrow. I said, amazing. So I put pending pickup in capital letters at the front of the listing. Is this still available? I'm like, it is pending pickup. When can I pick it up? I'm like, it's pending. Somebody has an offer in it. When can I? Here's $50. I'm like, it's, first of all, it's not. That's the other
it's
thing.
It's sold.
It's like, here's an item for $100. Let's just say $25. I'm like, no.
Yes.
What are you doing?
There's a million of those that you have to turn down. You're like, no, the price is set.
Everybody needs a couch. Let me know.
Non-negotiable.
I got a couch for sale. I got a nice coffee table.
Buy Ailish's couch.
Couch, coffee table.
That's how you should set it up.
What else do I have? Couch, coffee table, bar stools. Yeah.
It's a thing.
Don't offer in the text line. Yes, it's still available. I don't want to see that.
That's hilarious, too, because knowing you, it's so up to date. Like,
oh my
everything,
God,
you're just, like, obsessing over making sure
every
post is ready.
I've taken photos of any little nicks. Like, it's everything's documented. I put I even screenshot the date that I purchased it so people know it's 1 year old. Like, it's just no, everything you need to know about
maybe,
this
you
couch.
You might be doing too much.
No. Just read the damn thing.
It's a PSA. If you're on Facebook Marketplace, read before you write.
All right. God, what a weekend for Toronto sports. We'll move to the positives. Toronto Maple Leafs sweep the weekend. Did we think that was the case coming in? Honestly, we were happy with one win and then the back-to-back. I think the back-to-back thing has been a little bit blown out of proportion. They played 1 hour earlier than they would have.
Well, okay, that just adds to the back-to-back. But they looked like they were playing a back-to-back.
Yeah, sure.
But do you, is it the built-in excuse? Can we just, like, half-ass this because it's back-to-back? Whatever. That's besides the point. But I don't even think we actually discussed this, like, what would constitute a good weekend. Like, I don't think we really dug into it.
I thought we agreed on one win. You got to beat the Bruins,
like
and then...
If you beat the Bruins, or if you look,
it's
if you look
change
good...
if you beat the other guys.
If you look good on the weekend, if you... are competitive with the Bruins, whatever. Like, what would constitute a weekend? We didn't even discuss sweeping it. I didn't even think we laid that out as a possibility because it just seemed like the Carolina loss was a schedule loss, and Saturday they were going to be overmatched by what is the highest performing team in the NHL. But they were the better team against the Bruins. They weren't the better team against the Carolina Hurricanes, but they were late in the game. And they got it going despite, like, poor starts to every period and, like, wasting half of the game. The first 30 minutes were just a complete drag.
They had four shots in the first period.
But it was a decent road game. They hung around. And they capitalized on their opportunities late, and Freddie Anderson was less reliable than Eric Schalgren. Mm. So they found a way to get 4 points in the toughest weekend you could probably put on paper. The two top teams in the Eastern Conference, two of the teams that take advantage
back-to-back on daylight savings.
Exactly. And they came out with, like, you can kind of call the dogs off now. Mm. Like, what were we talking about last weekend?
Well, that is, okay, so last Monday.
Last Monday was a disaster.
We came in here, it was Halloween. It was like, ooh, spooky, worst road trip of all time.
Like, Sheldon keeps maybe getting fired
today. You kept saying, will heads roll on Halloween? I think you said it 10 to 12 times in that show.
You let me know that I was saying it too much.
Too much. This time around, Monday, November 7th, the vibes are high, other than the fact that the Maple Leafs might have lost their number one goaltender, Samsonov, after he got undressed by Brad Marchand in that penalty shot.
Yes.
A humbling experience. Nonetheless, unsure. Like, we haven't really gotten an update on him, but he didn't play. Eric Schalgren.
Well,
look, so
it's never going to be perfect. There's never going to be a perfect Maple Leafs weekend. There'll always be
something.
But just back to Keith. Like, we thought maybe gone. Now, I think we're good. I think things have settled down.
I think
down
the narrative that he lost the room,
we can flush that one a little bit. I think that it wasn't a perfect weekend by any means, but they got the results and they are playing much better. Now, can they keep that up with Eric Schalgren every night? Well, Schalgren, made 27 saves on 28 shots in 4 periods? So he did his job, and if he continues to just give him a baseline level of performance, then they might be okay. But again, Samsonov injury, very, very important. Matt Murray not coming back yet, but, making some progress.
I think he might skate.
So they got to get through a couple things here. They got to get through some games and get some W's without their normal goaltenders. But they survived or they are surviving their toughest little bit of the schedule that we've seen so far. So that is something 100% to build on.
Okay, before we talk about how they're surviving, because Tavares looking like an absolute stud leader, you got the big guys coming back into the fold here. The Leafs did address the goaltending absence by signing Keith Petruzzelli from the Toronto Marlies, who's 6-0 with the AHL club. He seems like an absolute gem. Let's just put that out there.
Okay.
The club loves him. The guy
I don't know much about him.
Okay, well,
why do you say that?
Because he gets his AHL to NHL promotion, and they announce in the dressing room. And it's just like he's bombarded. The guys love him. He seems like a gem. We do have a quote on him, which I thought was really sweet. Want to play that Keith Petruzzelli clip there?
It's been a little crazy, not much sleep, a lot of travel, and a lot of excitement.
What's it mean to you?
It's awesome. You know, I've put a lot of work in the last, my whole life, but it's really special. It was a really special moment, the way it was done. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been great.
Wow. All right, I'm with you. He sounds like a beauty.
He's so fired up.
I was not expecting him to sound like that for whatever reason.
I'm proud of the guy. Hopefully we're not seeing a lot of him. I think with the day off in between here in Vegas, I'm expecting your now number one goaltender, number three in the rankings to be bumped up to one, Sjogren, who, as you said, did what he needed to do to get that team a win. But you do have the idea that there's a fourth stringer now in the spot.
There's probably a good chance we see the fourth stringer this weekend because we have a Friday, Saturday back-to-back, Penguins and Canucks in town.
Two teams that are struggling.
You know, maybe Samsonov's all right. Maybe he'll be ready by the weekend. You don't really know. But the urgency with which they signed Petruzzelli would tell you, okay, we probably need this guy because they had just opened up a contract spot. A lot of the talk before the season, 50 out of 50 contracts. Kyle Dubas can't do anything. Now, of course, if you have to make a trade, you just drop a contract. It's fine. But they wouldn't have been able to make this move without losing Nick Obey-Kubel. It would have had to be an emergency basis thing. So it is very funny that with all this talk heading into the season, 50 out of 50 contracts, immediately you drop someone and you have to sign. Like, that newfound flexibility is gone immediately.
That's the situation that they're in. We hoped we didn't see this
month into the season. That's the NHL and salary cap world, though. Like, you cannot plan for things. You can't plan to have all this space. Like, you just have to react to the situation as it's laid out for you. And the situation is that they're down to the third stringer. They needed a fourth. We're probably going to see a fourth. And they've got to play better in front of these two guys. And maybe they do play better because they know they have less insurance back there.
I think that's a real thing. I mean, in my honest perspective, I've played in front of goaltenders that you're like, it's not our strongest showing in net. You do double down, I think, a bit, which shouldn't be the case. You should always be playing tight D. You should always be aware that you don't want to allow the other team to have more opportunities. But it seemed like that was the case. Yeah. And that hopefully is the way it continues. But you're scoring more goals. Your offense is producing. I think that they've been more dominant than we've seen. That response game Saturday night, I think, was absolutely one of the biggest stringing together. Like Wednesday night, their game against Philly, it was the start of something. We came on their radio Thursday morning and said, great.
Yeah.
You had a stellar game. John Tavares got a hat trick. You stuck it to them, as Tort said.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing matters until you can do that Saturday. And they found a way to beat the Boston Bruins on home ice in a pretty good showing. And that's okay. Now this means something to this team. It's how you do two together.
Yeah. And
now three.
Saturday wasn't like a convincing victory in that you totally dominated the Bruins, but in terms of like convincing the fan base victories,
yes,
I feel like it was way, 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 way stronger. Like they adapted to their game. They had a game plan. They executed against a game plan. They outplayed the Boston Bruins. Now the Boston Bruins are going through a little bit of a thing over the weekend.
Oh my God.
Which may have been a bit of a thing as well in terms of performance. And we'll get to that later.
Embarrassing.
But why would we make excuses for the Boston Bruins? The Maple Leafs showed up and outplayed the Boston Bruins, the best team in the Eastern Conference, and they deserve all the credit in the world for that victory. I will say, though, there might be some subconscious with Sjogren and net, even though Samsonov started that game and it didn't matter. Like, they played really well defensively in front of Samsonov as well. But I think Timothy Liljegren was a big part of what they were doing defensively over the weekend. I don't think you can understate his importance at all, at least in these two games. He settled things down in a big, big way. Not only does he look really good next to Morgan Riley, I think they had an 80% goals for percentage, Riley and Liljegren, against the Bruins on Saturday night. I don't know what the number was against Carolina, and probably not as good. But Liljegren played really, really well. And not only can he settle down Riley, but it allows for Brody to settle down Hall. And all of a sudden, you have two working pairings when, at the start of the season, when Riley and Brody were just not on the same page, and Hall couldn't perform outside of his partnership with Muzzin, which lasted, what, a couple games before Muzzin was unavailable? Like, nothing was working from a top-four defensive perspective. With Liljegren back...
Oh, it changes everything.
You don't have to promote Sandin. You keep him down with Giordano, which has always been a comfortable situation on the third pair. Like, everything looked way better from a defensive perspective with Liljegren back in the lineup, and that is a big, big deal that they were able to bring back a contributor on defense who can play, for sure, a role for you. And I didn't necessarily think it would be a top-pairing role, but right now, him on the top pair makes the most sense.
Not only did they reinsert Liljegren into the lineup, we saw Wayne Simmonds, and then we saw yesterday blender situation, which actually worked. And I think there was a bit of hesitancy, it seemed, over the last little while to really shake stuff up. I mean, the four had been the four, but we saw Matthews and Nylander and Tavares and Marner, which did lead to Tavares' go-ahead goal. We saw Nick Robertson back in the lineup, which I had been questioning for a while. Why is this guy not either playing in the AHL or playing in the NHL, sitting in the press box watching Pierre Engvall play and co? Great to see him back in. I've been wanting to see him continue. Like, he was making a difference before he was scratched for a few games. Questionable. I mean, Malgin was one of the best players last night or yesterday afternoon. But you saw the blender. Sheldon Keefe went to it in a quieter offensive game yesterday, and it worked. Did we see that continuing? Was it just a blip to get some momentum going? Did you actually kind of like the partnerships that we saw?
I did like them.
Spicy.
It's funny because, like, when is Sheldon Keefe allowed to mix up the lines?
That's it.
Is he only allowed to do it mid-game?
How many bullets does he have?
It's like in university when we had, like, the magic bullet, and it's like, if you're up before 7 a.m., it stays in the drawer. Like, you cannot pull
out the legit magic bullet.
Yeah, you can't bring out the blender and wake up the house before 7 a.m. It's in the drawer, 7 a.m. You can't bust out the blender until then. Unless
you were getting up at 7 a.m. in college.
Oh, I just lived with much more spry and ambitious individuals.
You were probably getting home at 7 a.m.
Yeah, and they were waking me up. Anyway, Keefe is allowed, I guess, in game to do this. It seems like, I don't want to say, like, okay, you can't do it. You're not allowed to break up, but it seems that way a little bit. And when he broke them up, it really sparked the win. So I think that's another reason why you give credit to Sheldon Keefe is that. That seems like the first Keefe win where he sparked it. He was the reason why they won that game, because his changes to the lineup, what he did to the top four, was what galvanized the group. And that's why they got the win, because those moments and those partnerships produced the goals that weren't coming before when they were really stuck in the mud.
We do have an audio clip post game, Sheldon Keefe talking about switching lines up, which has been, you know, one of the I'm trying to remember all the games, but the first time that we really saw this type of
long stretches, Mitch and Matthews broken up.
Probably the first time,
I think.
All right, here's Keefe on that.
Well, tonight it was more of a reflection of how I felt the game, how I felt about the game, rather than how I felt about the lines necessarily. I just felt that it was one of those games where we were fine. It's a 1-0 game, but not a lot was happening for us. And I just thought, you know, maybe changing things up a little bit will get the guys' attention and change the chemistry. And that in itself might spark something. And also, at the same time, it throws off some matchups for the opposition a little bit, too. They have a plan going in, and obviously the plan was going pretty well for them. So changing the lines, you know, now they have to make some decisions. They got out of rhythm a little bit. So that's what I was looking for in terms of what we'll do going forward. Got a nice flight and a day off tomorrow to think about that.
So, guys under the microscope, if you name a few, Keefe, Marner, Matthews, Justin Hall. I guess there are a few others, but in terms of, like, the important players, they all sort of came through in their own ways over the weekend. Keefe with the blender, Matthews obviously at the two goals Saturday. Mitch Marner, I think, is still the sore spot where it doesn't look right with him. But he set up that big second goal to spark, you know, the rally in the third period, setting up John Tavares with the line change. And Justin Hall made a play to set up the Yarncroke goal.
Justin Hall has been pretty good.
He looks like a different guy with TJ Brody.
The Justin Hall haters have been a little quiet.
If it is a confidence thing, I think he's more confident with TJ Brody because he's not, like, trying to lift someone else up. He's incapable of lifting someone else. He's a I-need-to-be-hoisted-up guy.
Yeah.
And when he's hoisted up a little bit, he can peruse the offensive zone and create things, and we see good things happen. So a lot of the Leafs that needed a big weekend, Leafs needed a big weekend themselves, but the individuals that needed to step up, Matthews with the two goals, Marner getting that moment, although there's still a lot of work there, and Sheldon Keefe in particular, again, if we're contrasting Monday, this Monday from last, he stepped up in a big way. So I think that's an important thing. And now the task is, hey, we got to play better defensively because of the goaltending situation we're in, and we'll see if they can build on that.
And Vegas coming into town on Tuesday. They're first in the Pacific.
Another task.
Then you said a little bit of time in between Pittsburgh and Vancouver, which you would expect to hopefully get two wins this weekend.
Well, maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
You're expecting two wins Friday, Saturday?
I think so. Vancouver is a tire fire. Okay. Pittsburgh has been awful.
Pittsburgh's always tough. Pittsburgh and Toronto is always tough.
Capitalize what you can against a team that's
back
scuffling.
To back.
They start with Pittsburgh, though, so you'll have three days rest?
With Keith Petruzzelli in goal for one of them, likely.
Probably Vancouver, I would say.
I would hope so.
Anyway, there's a lot to be positive about with the Leafs today.
That in itself is an example of expectations change because we were hesitant to even say one win this weekend. Now, next weekend,
they're going to be undefeated for the rest of the season, Justin.
You want 4 points Friday, Saturday.
I do want 4 points against those two teams.
Okay.
If you can get 4 points against Carolina and Boston, you're rolling. They did this last year.
Should never lose a game.
I think that they could probably go the next 70 games without losing.
It is very strange that the season... Like, we were all up in arms.
Hey, that's what it's like covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay?
But the season is playing out like last year.
And if it plays out
like last year,
you're going to be in points.
They're going to be really hard-pressed to lose, because that's what came of last season, where they just couldn't lose games after the slow start. So maybe it's gonna play out exactly the same. I have to wonder why it, like, reflects their in-game where they start brutally and then they get it together. I have no idea the psychology of the team, not going to get into it. But it looks like they're turning the corner just as they did last year. And this weekend will be the turning point
if we're looking back on it. Never in doubt. All right. So Leafs lose Samsonov, get two wins. Raptors lose Siakam. I don't know what's going on. Alfonso Davies injured. I mean, the
adductors are flaring up here in Toronto.
Bad weekend for adductors. Yeah. They're in the loser column.
Bad year for adductors.
Seriously. Okay, Raptors lose Siakam. It was a bit of a weird, like, slippy play. Why is the court wet? Isn't there someone's job out there just to buff the court?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, but it's a stress. That's a stressful job.
Oh, my. That's one of the worst jobs in sport.
Ball boy or girl is the worst because,
for tennis? Oh, my God.
No, in baseball.
Oh.
Because if you get it wrong, like, all of a sudden you've affected the game. But if you miss, like, I guess it's a win. It's not a lose-lose scenario because you can make a great play and get a cheer. But, like, that's a stressful thing. But cleaning the floor mid-game when it comes back the other way,
you
and you're scrambling to get off.
Crazy foot speed.
And then you've got radio hosts blaming Siakam's injury on them.
All-star Siakam slips. Controversy. Okay, so we do see Siakam go out, but we get to see Fred VanVleet return, missing the last three games due to a little back stiffness. Last night, 30 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, played almost 40 minutes. Great, like, didn't miss a beat. And he needed to come in and lead this team with Siakam out, and that's what he did.
No, we've been getting all-star performances from Pascal Siakam all year, and when he went out, we got an all-star performance from Fred VanVleet.
They're just switching who gets to be the star.
That was a weird game, though.
Last night?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Like, it was highly chaotic. Okay. Like, it was, you'd think, like, Fred coming in would kind of settle things down. But that game was absolutely unhinged. I could not make sense of it any which way. It was completely out of bounds. But what I think sparked it, I think it was like a challenge from Nick Nurse to the other coaching staff. Just like, who's got better athletes? Mm. And by the end, the athletes on Toronto the athletes for the Raptors, the athletes who were in the game late, were just overwhelming that of the Chicago Bulls. And it was a lot of Fred, like, making the right decisions and hitting shots. But when, like, without Siakam and with OG and Koloko and Precious at times.
Scotty.
And Scotty, it was just like they were overwhelming from an athleticism standpoint. And that's really what keyed the victory. And is like, it seems like you need it. It seemed like for three quarters, okay, like this team is not going to be able to score the way they normally scored without Siakam. And they needed some of that. They needed some of that traditional scoring in order to win the game, it seemed like. Otherwise, they were going to just come up empty in terms of the shootout that it was. But when they had Fred scoring efficiently, a la Siakam, but in different ways, obviously, they just had the better athletes to support Fred. And basically, that was the difference in the game. It was just like putting Fred in a position to carry the load and carry them home. It's in the rematch tonight. It's fascinating. Another back-to-back. I don't know why they're doing all this, but it's just, I guess, a new scheduling quirk that they've got going. But making sense, like what we're going to see, I just have no expectation for it.
Well, it really depends on what you can do about DeMar DeRozan. And it's really nice when he comes back, but he's been like electric this season. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like he's come out guns blazing this season. But
last year too.
Yeah. He's like peaking. Get him back. Last night, he still got 20 points, but on 9 shots.
Yeah.
And that's as much as you can probably limit DeMar DeRozan. They were double-teaming him, and you have Goran Dragic, who absolutely loves the Raptors fans, booing the hell out of that guy. He sucks. And you see him shushing the crowd at one point? God,
He's a good heel, man.
He is a good heel. He's like Danielli on the Dan Morning Show when he comes on here and picks their sides and sweeps us. Anyway, love to see Goran Dragic get a little bit of hate from the crowd. That's fine.
Sure.
But he still did put up 16 points, which is fine. Still limiting them. But I think tonight's game, when we look at how it's going to go, is what you can do with DeMar. And they did a great job last night, I would say. Probably, as I said, the best you could do with him. But
I think DeMar will take more shots tonight.
I think so. I think they're going to, and this is it. When you see a back-to-back, it's all about, okay, what did you learn literally less than 24 hours ago? How are you going to switch your game plan up? The Raptors, like, Koloko has been one of the best surprises of the season so far. It looks like they got another stud in him. And he's come out as a rookie. He makes rookie mistakes, but he finds a way to impact this game. How many assists did he have yesterday, or blocks?
Six.
Six blocks. Six blocks from this rookie. He's a big guy, but, like, he's clearly impacting this game when he's out there. And I think the fact that he's seamlessly moved in the starting role, I don't know if that was the expectation coming in. We talked to a lot of people. What do you want from, what do you want for Koloko? He's gonna impact this lineup somehow. And he's come in, 1 month in the season and been a reliable guy.
What I really like about this version of the Raptors is that their best defensive players are encouraged to be very active defensively. And it's part of that is because Koloko's back there. But Koloko is encouraged to challenge every shot.
Yeah.
That's how you put up six blocks in a game. Like, you have to be active, active. And he's not afraid to foul. He's not afraid to make mistakes. He's not afraid to get dunked on. Like, he's just a guy who's going to give a very honest effort from the defensive standpoint. And that leads to great results and high impact on the game. The same thing's happening a little higher up in the court with OG Anunoby, who is so active around the ball and around the ball carrier, or handler, rather. So I really like what they're doing from the defensive standpoint, just in terms of their, like, mindset and their conscious approach to these games. However, the defense did sag at times in that game. Like, I would put my head down after watching, a Raptors basket go in, and Chicago would score within the 5 seconds of me getting my head back up. Like, they couldn't even get into a front court or a half court set because they were scoring so quickly. So things to clean up for sure, but it was almost like Nick Nurse welcomed that last night. He welcomed just like a chaotic game. And I wonder what the change will be, because every game with the Raptors personnel is really a challenge for Nick Nurse to put together the best game plan. Like, there is, we talk about Sheldon Keefe all the time, but his impact is so much less than Nick Nurse's impact, in that there's a different strategy and there's a different approach.
Well, I think
and a
one coach has more permission
game.
Or has more.
I mean, the leash, but like the job is just so much more in depth and demanding. Like, Nick Nurse is literally coming up with game plans and different looks and different strategies for every opposing team that he sees. Mm-hmm. And now we get to adjust from one night to the next. I think they'll be trying to clamp things down a little bit more because it was a little loose at times. But you get another victory, that's all that really matters.
All right, so Raptors back in action, 8:45 start against the Bulls tonight. Send in your Wake and Rake submissions as well if you want to use the anchor pick from that game. No player props up yet on Unibet, but you know that OG steals and blocks is an immediate yes. And
immediate. I think we got to be looking at Koloko now.
Could be a little sneaky moneymaker.
Especially after just seeing it. I don't know what the line will be set at. He doesn't get, you know, he's not getting 2 blocks plus a game. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that might start becoming the norm, especially with Siakam out, where you might get a little bit more minutes. Like, it's not a direct impact, but is he getting 5 extra minutes per game because they just have to go to different, they have to go about it different ways. I feel like Koloko is worth looking at today. So we'll see what the line is there on the Wake and Rake.
So we got Raptors tonight, also Monday Night Football, Ravens and Saints. That's a tight matchup. 1 point spread tonight.
Kind of a tough game. I'm not really...
We'll set that up later.
Don't really have any hard opinions on it yet.
Also, we'll talk to Ross Tucker today at 8 o'clock. Tough weekend for Ailish. Dartmouth gets beat by Princeton. The Bills drop a game to the Jets.
Jeez.
I absolutely get smashed in my fantasy football matchup. If you're playing fantasy football, tough weekend to go against Mixon.
I had Mixon.
You have Mixon? Yeah. You're a little rat.
I got off the schneid this weekend.
Must be nice. Anyway, we'll do all football a little later, but we got touched on the World Series because, unfortunately, my Phillies could not make it happen. It was a valiant effort. If Rob Thompson wasn't going to win, I wanted Dusty Baker to win.
Yeah.
It was really, really... Okay, so take aside the fact that I lost our bet, which we'll get into. It was really, really sweet to see Dusty Baker have his moment. That team loves the guy. It's been a long journey to success for him. He was just... It was heartwarming. I don't know if I like the Astros yet. I don't know how that changes our feeling about the Astros winning a clean World Series. I think that's an interesting question for the text line. Like, have you given a space in your heart for this Astros team? Maybe Dusty Baker helped, maybe Pena, who's, we're literally seeing the start of greatness with that kid. Does that change how you view this organization? Are you always going to have a little bit of a bitter taste?
Well, you kind of know where I am at. I'm ready to turn the page.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Is my fandom or is my like betting interest coloring that? Not really. I thought it was exaggerated a little bit because what do we know about baseball? All these teams are trying to cheat.
Yeah.
Like, it's happening all the time, and maybe they went too far.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
They probably went way too far, but I like the redemption story. I like how this franchise turned itself around and did it the right way because they were always that talented, and they probably never needed to do what they did or at least go to the extremes that they did because this organization is objectively that good. They are operating at a different level, and part of that operation is picking the right manager, and boy, did they make the right decision with Dusty Baker. Because it was about optics early, and it was about calming things down. It was about resetting to a certain degree and bringing a level of respectability back to the organization. And Dusty Baker, since he took over, has brought the respect level back. And now with this victory, he gets his crowning moment, and he basically restores some measure of respect to the Astros. It was perfect. I don't know who made the decision. I don't know if the people that made the decision knew about the cheating and the scandal and all that stuff. And maybe there's blood on their hands too. But if they were not a part of it, and it was their job to put this franchise back into a standing that can at least be respected by others, they did just that. And the main thing, the domino there, was getting Dusty Baker to be the manager of this team. It's really, really... I don't know if it's the redemption comeback story, but it's just restoring good order to a franchise. And Dusty Baker deserves so, so much credit for doing what he did. Now, there's not that much overlap from 2017.
Right. But that's also a testament to this team's ability to find these hidden gems, like Pena, mm-hmm. like finding, we talked to John Morosi, and he praised his team for what they do in terms of scouting.
Yeah.
No team is
They're
as good as the Houston
level.
Astros.
Yeah.
They've built a bullpen that is basically unstoppable. Their starting rotation was elite. They have depth beyond depth.
Correa to Pena. Like that's them. That's the mark of a franchise that's just doing things differently. But again, Bregman and Altuve, that's really the only holdovers. Mm-hmm. Really the only other that guys that were involved in 2017 and played a huge role this year. And they weren't necessarily the players. They weren't the guys. So maybe there's still some questions about them. But for those two guys, at least they can turn the page. Their legacies won't be completely tarnished. They played huge roles in a team that did do it the right way and did it with Dusty Baker, who led it the right way. So I have nothing but respect for this version of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
And I think they have restored their image to a pretty sizable degree.
I can agree with that because of the fact, I think it adds a lot that the team is completely different. Mm-hmm. If this had been running it back over a couple of years,
they probably wouldn't have won.
You're right. They wouldn't have won, but it would have been harder to accept the fact that once again, they were the best team in baseball and they found their way to another pennant. But with all this said, Justin won our show bet because I had Phillies plus 1.5 and they were close and a miraculous comeback from your Houston Astros. So I take the L this time. Mm-hmm. I will not be running the beep test because our show bet is a different punishment. Would you like to explain it to the listeners? Because you're the winner.
I've already had to explain it to you today. I was a little surprised.
Well, okay. Just explain it first and we'll chat.
So it's business casual to black tie, meaning that you have to not wear sweatpants, not wear vintage attire, not wear the stuff that we normally wear when
which
we wake up
like
at 4:30, 4:15.
Leggings.
Exactly. You have to start off with business casual.
So like business
and
casual is...
it's a progressive increase in like the, not the quality per se, but the level of attire. So black tie, you need to see black tie optional for a wedding. You have to dress up really nice.
On Friday.
So you have to get...
So Thursday...
Your outfit has to be more like a higher standard...
I understand.
...from every...
Right. I'm not going to go...
I'm
you're terrible
failing,
at explaining
I'm failing
this.
To explain it to... It's really simple. Business casual to black tie, you have to look nicer and dress nicer every day from Monday to Friday.
This sucks. And also
I'm
sucks.
Really, I would have had to do like...
You were going to be wearing a tux on Friday.
I would have had to go and like get some dry cleaning done.
Formal for a girl is like a gown. Friday I will be wearing a gown to work. Well, so we're going to start next week though, because I wanted to make sure that we understood the rules. Next week, actually, Friday, when the show ends, I'm literally at 9:01 getting in my car and driving to a wedding, which starts at 2:00. About 3-hour drive
from here.
It's
a tough wedding to get to, by the way.
Yeah, and it's not only a wedding. It's the second part of a wedding. They already had the destination wedding, which I went to. Now they're having the wedding reception here in Ontario for everyone else to go to. So it's not just...
Okay,
it's wedding too.
That's not as bad. That's not as bad.
It's bad.
No, it's great.
And I'm a bridesmaid, and I have to be all dolled up, ready to go for the start of this wedding. So honestly, when I come to work next Friday...
Are you working for sure? Are you not taking the day off?
I'm coming to work, leaving at 9:01 in my car, and I will be there. So it's actually kind of perfect timing because maybe I'll just wear the dress I have to wear to work.
No, that's the thing. You're wearing your bridesmaid dress to work. You're actually doing that. Because that is perfect for the bet. That's the whole goal of the
bet.
So
that's why I thought I'd push it back a week. At the wedding in time?
No, Friday would be... to get you at the peak of what formal wear would look like.
Like I'm going to be
business casual to black tie.
Full on face here. And this also sucks for everybody that we're getting up at 4:30. I'm going to have to get up at 4.
That's the hardest part.
This sucks, Justin. But you know what?
The worst part is you have to have an extra half hour to get ready. Or hour.
And you know, it's so much easier for guys. You throw on a tux.
No.
Yes, it is.
It takes like 20 minutes to put on a suit, man. It's a big thing.
How long do you think it takes to do your hair and makeup for a wedding that you're in?
I just said dress. I don't... hair, makeup, that's your call.
I'm not going to show up like looking like I haven't even washed my face in a gown. You got to go the whole thing.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, so next week...
You will go the full route, but
Starting Monday.
It's literally perfect. You just have to get ready for the wedding at 4 in the morning.
Anyway,
and the video team here, we're gonna have like 10 social cutdowns a day. It's gonna be, we got to turn up the social heat.
Well, congrats to you, great bet. We'll be 1-1 now. Honestly, I think I'd rather this than run the beep test, though.
Why is that? Not confident in your beep test ability?
I don't want to run.
It really wasn't that. Like I didn't know.
Yeah, you did fine.
I didn't know that I would get to 10, but I knew that I could run for like a select period of time. This is more of a pain in the ass.
The worst part about this is
five days where it affects you.
the worst part about this, too, is we are now in a shared office space. We're no longer exiled into the Sportsnet 590 section. We share hallways and, like, the second we open our door to the studio, all of 680 News is there. Like, they can probably hear us talking through the walls. That's how close they are. The second I open this door every time to go to the bathroom, fill up my water, get a coffee, I'm going to be waltzing by regular humans, and they're going to be like, what is wrong with this girl? Why is she dressed up so nice? She's a radio host at 6 a.m. But yes. She thinks she's on air. She thinks she's on Tim and Friends. Like, it's going to be embarrassing. I think I'm just going to explain to everybody.
You're going to have to explain it a million times.
I lost the bet. I don't really dress like this at Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Well, what's hilarious at Rogers campus, like, everybody's coming in at 9 a.m. That's when we're leaving. So, like, there's, like, like, everyone's coming through the gates that we're trying to exit at the same time. And you're going to have to explain, like, everyone that's coming into work is going to be like, why is someone in a bridesmaid dress leaving work right now?
It's going to be tough. All right, that's next week. So I have a week to figure out my outfits, plan
them
out.
You got to coordinate. Like, I think we kind of have to go through it a little bit. Well, at least with me, we would have had to go through it. Because we need to see progression.
There will be progression, Justin. All right. Let's take a break. Today on the show, we have Frank Saravalli at 7. We're going to do winners and losers from the weekend at 7:30. Ross Tucker at 8. And, of course, the Wake and Rake later in the show. Send in your bets at 590, 590. You got two, you know, major sporting events tonight on the calendar. Monday Night Football, Ravens and Saints. Your Raptors versus the Chicago Bulls. You got some NBA, some NHL action as well. Leafs are back in action tomorrow. And the Raptors will have a day off. So we'll set that up. But we'll take a break and we're going to do the A-list. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're playing in the new Drake album, and I said Friday it was fine. It grew on me a bit over the weekend. Like, I listened to it a few more times. I worked out to it
once.
A couple
listens, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't judge a book by the first pages. That's the new one. Well, you got to give it a couple of chapters before you know if you like it or not.
Or the cover. You can't judge it by the cover.
Well, the cover of that album, you definitely can't judge. What the hell is that? It's actually freaky.
I don't know what it is.
What's wrong? Like, do you even exist?
It's art. Oh, no, I've seen it. I don't know what I don't know what they're trying to convey with that.
Anyway, it's grown on me, so
that's my update. What's the album called? Am I putting you on the spot here?
Her Loss.
So it's, I mean, I guess it's, that explains the cover to a certain degree.
Sure.
There's some sort of message there or meaning or whatever.
Anywho.
Anyway, I listened to a couple songs, but I'm going to need the public to tell me which song is the best, and then
right,
I'll start
there. That's the thing. Is like, there wasn't one song I was like, yes, that's a banger. It was just like, it was good. Like, I went through it, and I was like, it's good.
Okay.
Anyway, that was what played us in. So here's the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, so Saturday night at Scotiabank Arena was a jam-packed night. It was original six matchup, Hockey Night in Canada against the Bruins. It was also Hockey Fights Cancer Night, which was something that I got to be a part of, which was really special. I got to interview a lot of people there. It was just a wonderful night in general. Obviously, we know that cancer has affected so many people, and it just meant a lot to, I think, everybody in attendance. And there was Campfire Circle, which was the new, it's Camp Ooch. You might know that from before. Anyway, they're a partner with the Leafs, and all the money went towards them. I got to talk to some campers that have been able to go to camp.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was a really wonderful night. I was a hockey camper, yes. Hockey Opportunity Camp, which you might know. We used to go to that one, and Canadian Hockey Enterprises in Peterborough.
I don't know it, but I was a hockey camper too. I didn't get that, like, camp thing.
The one camp that I mentioned was a stayover camp, and it kind of like they Hockey Opportunity Camp kind of mixed hockey. And
oh, really?
It was up in like Sunridge, Ontario. So you got to be like campers and you got to do other things, but you also played hockey every day, and it was really fun anyway. But yeah, so we got to talk to Campfire Circle, which was really great. But the best part of the night, which was really special, was the Maple Leafs honored Carlo Koliakovo's son, Leo, who 5-year-old Leo finished his chemotherapy this year. He had treatments for leukemia, and he made it through 3+ years of dealing with this and over 1,000 doses of chemo. And if you haven't had a chance to see the video that the Maple Leafs put out, they played it live on the video board, and then they tweeted it and put it on their social channels. Take a look at this, because it's really heartwarming, and I wanted to play it. Obviously, you can't see it, but I think it's just extremely heartwarming, and it means a lot to the hockey community. And the voice that's narrating it, it's a female voice. It's Haley Wickenheiser. So just picturing this, take a look at it when you have a chance, but we're going to play it now.
We celebrated his second birthday at home with friends and families, and it was a very joyous moment. 21 days after, we ended up finding out one of the hardest things a parent can ever hear. Their child has cancer.
The first 8 months of Leo's diagnosis were probably the toughest on him, the toughest on us. The chemo was more intense. Visits to McMaster Children's Hospital were more frequent. We kind of had to adapt to this new normal.
I think the support was amazing, and the love that we had felt knowing that not just our internal family was being supportive, but our external family grew even bigger. Just celebrating everything he's been through, and most importantly, everything our family's been through. The overwhelming, you know, emotions that you feel in that moment, it's really hard to describe, but I'm so thankful that we got to do it as a family. Felt like the more we shared it, the stronger we became. This is something that he'll probably never remember, but it's something that we'll never forget as parents.
I feel like the sky's the limit for him. This diagnosis and this experience will never define him, but I'm sure that it has given him the strength and resilience that he could do anything.
Huge congratulations to them and that family, and Leo for making it through, buddy. And it was really nice to see them. And there's a longer version where also Haley Wickenheiser does she's not in that one, my apologies, where she does something for Rodion Amarov. Mm. And so there's two video. That one was just Leo and his family. But if you got a chance to see the Rodion Amarov one, they also honored him, who's obviously Maple Leafs draft pick. And it was really also an added factor of Saturday night's game. So really well done. Just wanted to give some love to that family and to young Leo, and congrats on making it through, buddy.
Yeah, two stories that hit home for Leaf fans for sure. Obviously, everyone remembers Carlo Colaiacovo as a player. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have been, you know, with him being in the media, you kind of have an idea of what his story has been with Leo. And to know that we're getting to a way better place with that is very, very special and awesome to hear. And Leo was ready with that bell when they
Leo
put him on TV.
Amazing.
He was ready to ring that bell, which is an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. It's like that signifies great things, and seeing him aggressively ring the bell, it makes you feel really good about where he is. And hopefully we can feel the same way about Rodion, and that things continue to progress there. I know that they keep saying he's got a long fight ahead of him, mm-hmm. But hopefully we get the point where he can ring the bell aggressively, maybe sound the horn at Scotiabank Arena. And that would be obviously very, very special as well. So definitely stories worth sharing.
Take a look at those online, both Rodion's and Leo's. And this whole month, I think the hockey world is celebrating Hockey Fights Cancer and bringing awareness to that. So it'll be probably more to come. All the clubs in the league are doing so. All right, one more A-list thing. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Man, he just brought a lot of hope to the city of Toronto this past weekend. This clip, maybe some listeners will get it, but we'll also give you the reasoning or the translation to what he says. But here's Vladdy.
¿Qué ciudad es de la que más te gusta jugar?
Me gusta jugar en mi ciudad, en Canadá.
Ok, pero cuando tú sales, ¿qué sale
en Nueva York?
¿En Nueva York? ¿Y por qué?
Me gusta matarlo ahí a los Yankees.
¿A los Yankees? ¿Te gusta matar a los Yankees? Viene pregunta. ¿Entonces tú nunca firmarías con los Yankees?
Me muerto.
All right.
You got to translate.
Yeah, well, my Spanish is a bit rusty, but you heard the word Yankee in there, I think. Yankee.
Okay.
Quote,
maybe.
Vladdy. I like to play in New York. I like to kill the Yankees. I would never sign with the Yankees, not even dead. What a quote.
Not even dead is
not
a great
even
line.
Dead.
I feel like that's a t-shirt that needs to be made.
Not even Vladdy's dead.
Vladdy's head, not even dead. But that rhymes. That's awesome.
Wow, man, that is just chef's kiss, Vladdy.
It is very good. It's very, very good. It's not like, and this is kind of, we're doing winners and losers later. I was going to get into this being the Yankees mm-hmm. being losers.
Yeah.
But who talks about the Yankees like this? Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, no one would say things like this about the Yankees. Like it was in everyone's head to be, I mean, maybe that's the North Star playing for the Yankees one day, but not anymore.
Oh, they hate
Yankees
it.
Yankees have lost a little.
Even
their,
Aaron Judge doesn't like
fastball.
The Yankees
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, he might be gone. Not even dead. I love it.
I love Vladdy.
If he goes to the Yankees one day, though, no, it's going to be just
no, he never can. Not even when he's dead, he said. I like to kill the Yankees. I would never sign with the Yankees. Not even dead.
We got to hold you to that, Vladdy. We got to hold you to
everybody
it.
Has saved and don't, I don't want to see a freezing cold takes. Yeah, you know, that Twitter account would be all over that one. All right, that's Vladdy keeping Toronto's hopes alive. Obviously, now the World Series is over. We can focus on Toronto Blue Jays. Making this year count.
Fire up the off-season hot stove.
Only 120 days or so until they kick off spring training.
Big off-season, though. Like, yeah.
Now there's free agents, technically, have now entered
off-season,
free agency.
Off-season's underway, and the amount that they probably have to do to even compare themselves to the Houston Astros is pretty boundless.
Baby steps. Big step is keeping Vladdy.
Might have to be, you know, Bigfoot-style steps. Like, they need to do something drastic this offseason, I feel, to get to that same level, to keep Vladdy thinking that it's only Toronto. It's only Toronto for him.
Well, he said it. You can't go back on your word, Vladdy. Even if it was in Spanish and we had to get it translated to make sure. It was excitement. Okay, so everybody doesn't like the Yankees. Well, what's worse, the Yankees or the Boston Bruins? Oof. The Bruins just absolute PR nightmare this past weekend.
Tough weekend. 60 hours of hell.
Frankly embarrassing.
Self-inflicted hell, though.
Self-inflicted hell with this whole situation with Mitchell Miller, who we'll get into with Frank Saravelli. That's all. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Frank Saravelli with Justin and Ailish.